How's everybody doing today? If you will, turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 37, and that's where we begin today when I get into the message. But I just wanted to say a couple things this morning. I know we, as most of you know, we broke the fast last week, and I believe it was a good fast. I've heard a lot of good things, and I hope to hear more things as we go through time. But you know, it wasn't, there was something, as I talked to a lot of people this year when we did the fast, it seemed like there was a whole lot more warfare going on, really strong this time. And I think a lot of it, part of that is due because we had more people really embrace the fast and prayer time. And so I just want to encourage you that. I believe today's message will encourage you too along those lines. And there's one other thing I didn't call your attention to, but if you'll take this out, this is your note page. And if you have a bulletin near you or with you, if you pull that out, I want to encourage you to take notes. You know, when we write things down, it helps register it in our memory bank a little better, and it gives our recall better. But on the back of that, there's an announcement I haven't really mentioned. We've had it in the last 2 weeks, but next week, John Yates is going to be with us. John is a person I've known for several years. He's a director with Life Outreach International, James and Betty Robinson's ministry, of which we partner with to around the world to bring shoes and water wells to people that are dying from bad water and things like that. John's going to be talking on the power of adoration next week, and it concerns loving God, how to love God and love one another. And I think it's going to be a really good message for the church and timely for us. So I want to encourage you to be here next week and hear John. He's coming from Fort Worth, Texas to be with us. And I believe he'll be a blessing to us. Amen? All right, and bring somebody back with you. Ezekiel chapter 37. Today I'm going to be talking about enlarging your expectation. Enlarging your expectation, and that is enlarging your expectation with your own faith and your faith with God. And so we're going to look at Ezekiel, the prophet that God really opened up his eyes and spoke a message to him, but not only that, had him speak a message. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And then he caused me to pass by them all around. He caused him to walk through all these skeletons, these bones laying around, these dry bones. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry. That means those bones have been there a while. People have been dead for a while, long enough that the bones, everything had, all the flesh and ligaments and everything had gone away, and there were just dry bones. The bones had actually dried out. They were very dry, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? Can you imagine that? I mean, hard to imagine having a conversation with God like that, but can you imagine him saying, look at all these dry skeletons. Can they live? Can they live? You know, and Ezekiel responded, so I answered the Lord, you know, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And then you shall know that I am the Lord. And he said, Ezekiel went on to prophesy. And here's what I want you to see today, beginning with this. No matter where you are today, no matter where you've been, where you've come from, what you've been through. We have a God who is able. Amen. We have a God who is able. And whether we believe it or not, God's Spirit is really moving in the world today. I mean, when you look at the world today, you can think, wow, where's God? It's easy to think that, isn't it? But God is moving. We have a God that's able, and He's moving in the world today in ways that we've never seen before. We may just not be hearing about it, but as I connect with different places and parts of the world and things are going on even here in the U.S., He's moving. And yes, He's even moving here at Heart Cry as well. So many things are happening in the world today. The economy, all the crisis in the Middle East, all the disruptions, all the violence here in our homeland as well as abroad. And, you know, personally, I don't think a whole lot about those things other than maybe, you know, God, just hold off a little longer because there's a few more people we need to reach. There's a few more people that I need a little more time to reach a few more people. Actually, I think God's doing exactly what He wants to do in the world today. You know, I think what He's done is, you know, a lot of people have been praying for years for God to change things, to shake things up. And I think that's what He's done. I think He's just kind of reached down to this little tiny planet that He created called Earth, and He's shaking it up. I think He's shaking it up today. And I think He's shaking it up exactly the way He wants to shake it up. And I believe He's trying to shake us up in our faith, to get us off dead center, to get us out of our humdrum. By nature, as humans, we just need to be shook up once in a while. I mean, that's our nature. We need to be rattled once in a while to see ourselves as we really are, to see things as they really are. And I believe if maybe you're wondering what God's doing in your life today, I believe this passage in Ezekiel is a word from you, for you from God. You know, in this passage, God begins to show Ezekiel how dry things are around him, and how even in his faith, how things are dry. And he says, you know, look at these dry bones, these dead dry bones, Ezekiel. And he said, can these things live? And of course, Ezekiel said, well, you know God. Of course, God knows everything, right? And so that was an intelligent answer, except that's not what God was asking him. That's not what he asked him. You see, there's been many times in my life where I've hit a crisis, and I've known God could do things, but I didn't think He could do them through me or in me or around me. Anybody identify with that? You see, that's what He wanted to teach Ezekiel, and that's what he wants to teach us today. Sometimes God has to take us and allow us to be stunned by something to get us out of our self-inflicted safe zone, I call it. You know what I'm talking about? Our self-inflicted safe zone, just so we can see how much we need Him. You know, we like to be safe. We like to be comfortable. We don't like things. Most people don't like change, even if it's good change. But God wants to shake us out of those things, and He wants us to see things differently. He wants us to see things as He sees them. He wants us to see our need for Him. So He asks, Son of Man, can these dry bones live? And we say, well, God, you need to do something. You need to do something. You need to take my situation, take hold of it and do something. Amen. And you know what? God says, no, I want you to learn something. You need to take hold of your situation. You need to take hold of me, God, first, and then you need to take hold of your situation. You need to begin to do as I told Ezekiel. You need to begin to speak to that situation. Now, don't chase a rabbit. I'm not talking about this name it, claim it stuff that you see on TV a lot that's really not in context to what we're talking about. But he told Ezekiel, prophesy over these bones. He says, you know God. No, Ezekiel, you speak. Well, what did he tell him to speak? He told him to speak his word to them. Thus saith the Lord. And that's what God wants us to speak to our situation. Speak God's word to our situations, whatever they may be. You see, it's good to know this word, and we need to know it. We really do. But it's even better to apply it. It's even better to use it. And he's saying, you need to take hold of me. You need to begin to prophesy. You need to apply now what you know is right and begin to release the Holy Spirit through your dryness. Begin to call on the name of the Lord and proclaim things that maybe you've never seen before. Hallelujah. Not just believe what God can do, but proclaim maybe even what you've never seen him do, but it says in here he will do. And he can do. God started this very thing concerning me, probably just over a year ago. And I'm doing exactly that, what he said. I'm proclaiming his word that he's going to do things that I've never seen him do before. But yet I know they're here. I know he's done them, but I've never seen them. And I believe that's where he wants us to go. I'm speaking to you today about enlarging your expectation in your faith. Not just, well, my faith's right here and it's comfortable and I've got it and I just stay right here. No, enlarge your expectations of your faith and your expectations of your faith in God. So, you know, a lot of times we just want to hang out and just see what God's going to do, don't we? You know, I'll go hang out with Jerry, or I'll go hang out with John because those guys are spiritual, and you know I'm just going to go hang out with them and see what happens, see what God does. No, that's not what he wants. He wants you to be a part of whatever he's going to do. Amen. Reinhard Bonnke said this one time, and I believe as you think about it, you'll see the reality of it. The word of God is as powerful in your mouth as it is in Jesus' mouth. Now, some of you might think, well, that's heresy. No, it's not. Jesus spoke the word. Jesus was the word. He spoke the word. But why wouldn't this, does this word change? No. So if I speak it or you speak it, why would it be any less powerful? It's not. God's word is just as powerful in our mouth as it is in Jesus' mouth or Ezekiel's or anybody else's. Ezekiel was just a man. A prophet, but just a man. But the words he spoke, God's word that was spoken through Ezekiel caused those bones to rattle and shake and begin to come together. Do you see what I'm saying? And it's the same for us. You know, at the beginning of creation, it says the Spirit hovered over the waters. He was just kind of hovering like a helicopter over the waters, waiting for instructions from God. And God said, let there be. And guess what? The Spirit was released, and the miracle of creation began to come together. You know, this year could be just like any other year. You know, we're faithful to come to worship and come to church some of the time or most of the time. And we believe God. But God wants us to understand that expectation is the seed for the miraculous. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, all this, you know, necessarily, how do I describe it? Stuff that you're like, oh my gosh, you know, every news agency and every news media outlet in the world would come flocking to. Because I'm not talking about those kind of miracles. I mean, they're happening around. But I'm talking about everyday miracles in our lives that we need to experience. And we all need to experience those sometimes in different ways. See, we need to enlarge our expectation instead of just waiting to see, well, God, I'm going to wait and see what you're going to do now. No, We need to enlarge our expectation. God's given us the authority of His Word. Amen. He's given us this authority to speak it, to believe it, to live it, to walk it out. Hallelujah. And so, you know, we need to use it. It's not God, well, if it's your will, I hope something happens. No, that's not what He's talking about. God, Your Word says this, so I'm going to speak that. Amen. To whatever situation I'm dealing with. And I'm not going to just speak it, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to speak Your Word to that mountain, God, that I'm dealing with right now. I'm going to speak Your Word to that mountain. See, we need to enlarge our expectation. It's not the circumstances that matter. Hear me now. It's not the circumstances that matter. It's the Word of God. It's God's Word active by the Holy Spirit in us. Let me say that again. It's God's Word active through the Holy Spirit in us. Active in us. Active in us by the Holy Spirit. So that, you know, we can speak in the power of the Word. We can speak the power of the Word. So, what about you? I wonder if God's gotten a hold of you. Expectation, no matter who we are, pastor, worship leader, Bible teacher, usher, greeter, whoever we are, we all have enemies. Enemies that hinder our expectation in our faith. So I want to talk to you real quickly about those enemies of expectation. And then I'm going to give you four things that will help you enlarge your expectation. So the first thing is that one of the enemies of expectation is a devil that wants to dominate us. A devil that wants to dominate us. You see, sometimes we get so spiritual, we forget we're in a war. It's tough, it's hard, and Satan's serious about his purpose. Sometimes I wonder about the church, but Satan, there's no doubt he's serious about his purpose. And it's not easy. And sometimes people think if I just make sure I'm in God's will, everything will be all right. Sorry, it's not how it works. If you're in God's will, things will stir up. Just like our fast, things will stir up. Things in the spiritual realm. As I said, he's serious about his purpose, Satan. And his purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if he can't kill us, he'll steal from us. And listen, the church has been stolen from so much that it often does more breaking down than building up. You see, the devil's very satisfied. The devil's very satisfied for you to be happy as long as you don't understand the authority that you have in Christ. Let me say that again. The devil is very happy. He's fine with you being happy as long as you don't understand the authority that you have through Christ living in you. Because see, if once we understand the authority that Christ's given us, then he's in trouble because he no longer has power over us. So today I want to encourage you that it's time. It's time for us to raise our expectations in our faith. Isaiah, if you'll turn back to the left to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. And this is really speaks to this devil that wants to dominate us. Verse 19, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Did you hear that? Now, in the original language, it reads like this. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. In other words, God will just send a flood back against him. You might say, well, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. Things are probably pretty good for you right now. Well, I'll make a deal with you. You give me your list, and I'll give you mine, and we'll see who wants to trade. How about that? You see, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit raises up a standard against him. Look at it another way. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when you're just feeling overwhelmed and it's like, man, he's coming from all directions, God's going to raise up a standard against it, a wall, like a dam. He'll raise it up to hold back the flood of the enemy. The Spirit of God raises a standard up against him. He raises up that dam. And here's the point. Either way we look at this scripture, we can release the power of God's Spirit in our life. Amen. We can do that through enlarging our expectations. The second thing, the second enemy of expectation is an attitude of just enough. An attitude of just enough. Having an attitude, what am I saying here? I'm saying it's this attitude of, I'm doing okay, things are all right, we're adequate, we're getting by, and life's okay, I've got some faith here, I go to church. But are you expanding what you're doing? Is it, no, I'm not happy like I am. Getting by is just not all right. That's not biblical. Are you comfortable in your faith? Are you comfortable with your faith? Where are you in it? How can you be satisfied in your faith when I believe everybody sitting here has either family members, business associates, teachers, friends, classmates that are going to hell because they don't know Jesus? How can we be comfortable when we know that's true? Do you know how many churches in just in this county are just getting by? About 95% of them. You think God wants His bride, the church, just getting by? No. Of course not. That's not what His Word says. He says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us. That's what God wants to see in the church. His power that works in you, surrounded by your power. His power surrounded by your power and our thinking. You see, the soul, our thinking, our soul can hold things back. The soul can keep His power contained. The potential of what He can do through us is limited by our thinking, by how we look at Him, how we perceive Him. See, if your attitude is, I'm happy where I am, and I'm happy with a nice, comfortable building, a nice service, life is comfortable. You know, that attitude can become one of the most selfish attitudes because all you're thinking about is you. I'm comfortable, everything's good, we're getting by, it's cool. Listen, God wants to use you to touch people's lives. Everybody here. It doesn't matter what age you are. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Of course you can. You're my dad. I got to be obedient. Do I have a microphone?
No, I don't need a microphone.
Well, you know, speak up where people can hear you, please, sir.
You all remember this guy last week? He's up here. Pastor washed his feet. Some of you do, I'm sure that we're here. Well, I don't know what happened, but I've been washing my feet. Something came over me that was very unusual. I asked him, was that water, regular water? He said, yes. Well, I think it was previous water, but to me it was not. I don't know why, I just thought,
Power of God working in us. That's a testimony. Where was I? God wants you to be a resource to help others. To do what God has called you to do. And what He's called them to do. If your expectation is not high, it's because you don't know you're in a fight. And when things happen and the enemy nails you hard when you least expect it, you know, you just want to fall back and just give up. Don't settle for just enough. God has more for you. He has more for others through you. Amen. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "People don't understand that their outlook on life is an expression of their own character." People don't understand that their outlook on life is an expression of their own character. Think about how you pray. How about the goals or the desires that you set? Are they all about you? Maybe just your family? Is it all about what you need, or is it about God's heart, which includes you and your family? But it's also about all those who have yet to come to Christ. See, it's about all the churches that are different than ours, but they're still His church. It's about having a kingdom spirit that's bigger than what we've been through. But an attitude of just enough is going to rob you of your expectations. Third enemy of expectation is failure to fund enlargement. Failure to fund enlargement. You know, we come to God with some really big prayers, and sometimes we don't realize that to experience another level, to step up in God, is going to cost something more. If you want more harvest from the field, you have to put more seed in the ground. And if you're going to grow to another level, it's going to cost more. And I'm not just talking about money here. So we pray big prayers and God says, okay, are you going to step up? Are you going to step up higher? Are you going to let me stretch you? See, we all want new seasons in our life, but new seasons require new seed. Moving into a new season doesn't guarantee change. You have to seed the new harvest. It's what you're prepared to lay down in your life to see that. And the last enemy of expectation I want to talk about this morning is what I call a lost-scented experience. Lost-scented experiences. You see, we go through things in life, and many of you sitting here today can say, you know, I never expected to go through what I've been through or what I'm going through right now. And right now, I'm just asking God just to get me through. Instead of having an expectation that's found in the heart of God. You see, whenever the Holy Spirit moves, He's calling us to prophesy more life into the situation, into our situation. Sometimes you go through stuff and you don't know how to deal with it or how to respond in it. And I don't know what all you're going through, but I know this. God is not taking you away from the dry bones. He's not taking you away from the dry bones. He wants you to face those dry bones that are around you. And He wants to take you on a journey through those dry bones where you not only believe God can turn things around in your life, believe that God can turn things around in your life, but he wants to realize you're a key in him doing that. You're a key in him doing that. You see, he wants you to realize that. When he, in order for him to turn those things around, you are a key part of that. You see, we learn more in the dark than we do in the light. You know, that's another way of saying when things are easy, we don't learn much. But when things are hard, we learn more. You see, we can't see real good in the dark. But see, the darkness causes us to develop our senses, to be more sensitive to things like God and his Spirit. That's why we learn more in the dark. And so I want to encourage you today, no matter what you go through, God is able to do something with it. It may not be immediate, but if you begin to speak the word of God over it, dry bones will begin to rattle. Ligaments will begin to grow. And power and strength will begin to emerge in the middle of your valley. Listen to this. Failure. Failure is only fatal if you see it as final. Failure is only fatal if you see it as final. Listen to me. No matter what you're going through, no matter how deep your pit is, no matter how dark your night is, the enemy will try to use your lost-scented experience to crush you. James 1:2 says, "Consider it joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So be encouraged. Fight the good fight and don't give up. So now I want to give you four ways to develop your expectation. Four ways. The first one is a living inner revelation. A living inner revelation. Now, we can believe the Word of God. We can take this book and we can say we believe it. But the Holy Spirit teaches us that the Word becomes flesh in us. This Word becomes a part of us as we engage it, study it, read it, learn it, believe it, and begin to live it. See, we need men and women of revelation, of conviction, that God gives us. God gives us conviction. Many people sitting here today had an expectation in your life, but the enemy waited at just the right time and attacked you, and you lost that expectation. Then survival mode kicked in, and it became, as long as I can just get by, I'll be okay. And now you're missing out on what God wants to carry you through. God wants to carry you through. See, we've got to be men and women that carry the Word of God in our heart. We carry it with us. I've had people I've known for years say to me, "I've been watching you in that church, and I wondered if it would last more than a year or two." You see, when Karen and I didn't walk away from a nice six-figure income and a comfortable retirement just to start a church, God called us to start more than that. He called us to start something. Something that his Spirit could use to change people. Amen. Change a community. Something that would impact lives in other states and other countries even. And so over the last almost 10 years, the enemy's come hard. There's been dark days in our lives. There's been dark days here. But we persevere. We persevere. You see, things have happened we've never expected to happen. But what's kept us strong is revelation. Revelation. The revelation is this. God spoke to us. So here we are. And here we stay. Now listen. People live mostly by understanding. As humans, we do. We live mostly by understanding. We hear something preached, or we read the Bible, or we read a book. We see a movie that stirs understanding in us. Like, wow, that was powerful. That was great. But you know, you can have an understanding and it won't change you. Understanding won't change you. Understanding won't change you. You got to get that in there. You see, why not? Because when you get an understanding in your mind, you have an understanding. You say, well, I understand that, and here's how I'm thinking, and here's the thought process. But then you get in a fight with your wife, and you got a different understanding. See what I'm saying? You can have one understanding here, and when you go out there and get in the car and you have a fight with someone in the church parking lot, the understanding changes. That's why understanding won't change us. We must have understanding. The understanding we get from God's Word become a revelation in our life. Become a revelation in our life. You see, when you get an understanding in your mind, you have to meditate on it. You let it marinate. And if you hear a word that you know is for you, you need to write it down so you'll remember it, so you can go back to it. Get the CD, write it down, go over it dozens of times so you can get it from here down to here in your heart, from the head to the heart. See, what happens in your head changes depending on the conversation you're having at the time. And as soon as something else gets in your head, guess what? Your understanding changes. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, when understanding goes from your head to the heart, that's when it becomes a revelation. It becomes real. And it lifts you and it lifts your expectation. God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, God, you know. See, that was in his head. That was with his head. And God was saying, no, Ezekiel, I want you to get it here. I want you to get it here in your heart. Go here with it. Prophesy to those bones from here. See, I can't prophesy something I don't have revelation about. So what do you do? What do you do that you know that you really know? That's what you do, that you really know. I can tell you this, you know, what we've been through in 10 years, both personally and in other ways, we wouldn't be here today if we didn't have revelation. But here's the process I want you to see. And you might want to write this down. In fact, I want to encourage you to write it. Understanding becomes revelation. Understanding, it'll be on the screen, becomes revelation. Understanding here becomes revelation. And then here's what happens to revelation. Revelation gets embedded in the heart, and revelation becomes conviction. Revelation becomes conviction. And guess what? Conviction is in your spirit. Conviction is in your spirit. It becomes activated revelation. Because you see, you won't necessarily act on what you think or understand, but conviction is what causes you to act accordingly. When you're convicted of what this word says for your life or to you in your life, that's what you're going to act on when it becomes a conviction. See, most of the church at large doesn't live by conviction. Revelation has to become conviction because it becomes activated then. And sooner or later, somebody's got to stand up and say, this is the word of God. Your time is now. Our time is now.
Amen.
Bones live. Bones live.
Amen.
Romans. Turn to the New Testament. Romans chapter 10. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Romans 10:17 says this. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Most people think that says faith comes by hearing the word. But that's not what it says. Faith comes by hearing. In other words, as I read the word, I hear the word, I become more familiar with it. And as I hear the word brings revelation. And then revelation becomes faith. It becomes a belief system. I hear the word, I get a revelation, and faith, Listen, faith is based on revelation, not just a generic belief. You ask people, do you know Jesus? Do you know God? Oh yeah, I believe in God. It's not what I ask you. Did you know him? Satan believes in God. So what does that mean? See, revelation. Revelation from the Word. People don't get breakthrough oftentimes because they only have understanding. But you have to get a revelation. And then revelation pushes you to conviction, which is what you're going to act on. You're going to act on conviction, not on maybe or an understanding that you think. Conviction, once you have conviction, you start doing what the Word says. Why? Because it's here. When the Word gets here, when it gets in your heart, that's where you have conviction. And that's what drives your actions. That's what you act on. I'll just give you a quick example. Tithes and offerings, for example. If it's just an understanding, tithing is an understanding, a concept, it won't last. It won't last because the refrigerator is going to break, the car is going to break down, a bill is going to come that you don't expect, and then you have a decision to make. And if it's an understanding, your understanding is going to change with circumstances. But if it's conviction, if it's revelation, thus says God, and God says, if I do this, my needs will be met, and if I do this and I'm faithful in this, he's my provider. That's revelation. That's conviction. It becomes conviction. And that's what we really believe, and that's what we really act on, is conviction. It's faith activated through us. The next step to develop your expectation, enlarge your expectation, is personal investments of seed. Personal investments of seed. See, if you want a large expectation, start sowing seed. See, it's easy to sow someone else's seed, but when you start sowing what costs you something, it makes a big difference. See, you have to put fresh seed in. You know, the Bible uses great illustrations with agriculture. You got to put fresh seed in if you want a new harvest. So wherever you need breakthrough is where you need to sow personal seed. If your marriage is not what it needs to be or used to be, then you need to sow personal seed into that marriage relationship. We've been married 42 years. And it's good. You say, well, you're lucky. No, not lucky. It's just we're both committed. And we both sow personal seed into it. Is it easy? No, not at all. Does it work? Yes, it works. So what personal seed? What's personal seed, Pastor? It's something that cost you something. If I'm going to sow personal seed in my relationship, I've got to choose not to do one thing or do something over here so that I can put time here into her. Or maybe it's just little thoughtful things. But it costs me something because I have to let go of something else to do that. You follow me? You have to put fresh seed. Fresh personal seed costs you something. You have to give up something to contribute something. 1 Corinthians. Turn over to 1 Corinthians just a little farther forward, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're almost finished. Verse 6. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants, listen to this, he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. It's personal seed. Your life, by the way, is a reflection of the seed that you've sown. The third way to enlarge your expectation, there needs to be an understanding of seasons. This is real important. Listen to me, this is real important. An understanding of seasons. You see, we think God only has one season. And we just go through life in the same season. We want God to do things that it's not the season for. And we say, God, why aren't you doing something? What's going on here? You've got to understand the seasons. Ecclesiastes 3 says there's a season for everything and a time for every purpose under heaven. See, you can have the right thing at the wrong time. You can be doing the right thing at the wrong time or in the wrong place. You have to give up and lose your expectation in order to understand the seasons correctly at times. Ecclesiastes 3:2 says, there's a time to plant and a time to pluck up. A time to plant and a time to pluck up. You see, oftentimes in the church, we plant and we plant and we plant, and we wonder why new things aren't coming up, taking root. And it's because the old plantings, the old plants that God's through with, are taking all the nutrients away from the new seed. And it keeps it from germinating and sprouting and flourishing. You see, at times you have to clear out the old that God is through with so that the new plants can thrive. Let me give you an analogy of that or an illustration of that. For the first 9 years or a little more, 9 years of this ministry, 90% or more of our ministry was done outside the church. You say, well, that's good. Yeah, it was good. It was good. But then God began to change the season. He said, that season's over. It's time to plant in the church. It's time to strengthen the foundation. And so he began to change the season. And you see, if we don't understand the seasons that God is changing, we'll struggle. And that happened here. God was changing the seasons, clearly. And a lot of people didn't understand and didn't see the seed that he was changing seasons for our church, and they struggled with it. And then the last thing is an active prophetic voice. The last thing to enlarge your expectation, your faith. You know, an active prophetic voice. That's not just for the pastor or the prophet to prophesy over you. It's for you to begin to hear what God is saying. What God was saying to Ezekiel, it's a new day, a new season, but you've got to enlarge your expectation of your relationship with Christ. Enlarge your expectation of your relationship with Christ. Listen to this from Luke. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Listen, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what the enemy has stolen, things you've had happened that you never expected, God's calling your spirit to rise up and begin to look at the dry bones. Not get depressed, but to say it's a day for a great miracle to happen. Amen. It's time for the rattling to begin. Amen. See, the devil seeks to destroy. The devil that seeks to destroy doesn't have to have the last word. He doesn't have to have the last say. Don't get stuck in a place where you're just getting by. Listen to me. You're called to be a provider of the things of God to others. Amen. Begin to realize going to another level is going to cost you more. But God is right there in the middle of it. Amen. God is right there in the middle of it. You know, if you've gone through a loss-centered experience, maybe a tragedy in your life or lost someone, you can't find God in the middle of that. Remember what Jesus said in the middle of the storm. Peace, be still. Peace, be still. And the storm was calmed. And he'll say that in your storm. You've got to find peace before the still comes. Get that? You've got to find peace before the still comes. See, we want things to calm down, and then we'll have peace. Well, what kind of faith is that? You've got to find peace with God, and then the still will come. God's timing is his timing. And I don't know what he's going to do here, but I'm going to give it all I've got because I'm all in. And I hope you are too. Here's a truth I want to share with you in closing. People get committed when they get revelation of the vision God has planted. People get committed when they get revelation of the vision God has planted. Don't let your expectation level off at your experience, because God's got a lot more for you than just what your experience is or has been. Don't give up on what God has given you to do. No matter what you've gone through, you've got to release, you've got to prophesy to all those dry bones that you're facing. Because if you don't prophesy, you don't speak His word to those bones, then God's hands are tied in and through to act in and through and on your behalf. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word today. Thank you, God, that you do speak to those dry bones. Your word speaks to those dry bones. And God, you've given us the authority of your word to speak to those dry bones in our lives. And so, Father, we today purpose to enlarge our expectations, not only of you, but of our faith because of you. And as we enlarge the expectation of our faith, God, we know it enlarges the things that you can and will do in our lives. You'll work in those things. When things are broken, you fix. When things have been stolen, you restore. And even things that have been killed, you resurrect. So, Father, today, I praise you. We thank you. We believe you, God. We believe you for the changing seasons. God, help us to recognize those seasons you change in our lives, both as individuals and as a church. God, help us not to get bound up by those lost scented experiences, but to allow you through revelation to bring conviction in our hearts to rise up and to walk past those, to walk through those and beyond those things. God, we trust you today. Help us to trust you more. Help us to love you more. Help us to worship you and honor you in a greater way every day of our lives, because you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy of honor and glory. Father, as we prepare to worship you with our tithes and our offerings, God, we say thank you. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your presence in our lives. So we say to you today, we love you. We honor you. We trust you and we obey you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen. Ushers, if you'll come and receive the tithes and the offerings this morning.